Good morning.
You've sung a bunch, but do this for me and with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Good to see all of you here today. A few more keep drifting back in since June, middle of June when we came back together. It'll be a while before we have everybody here, but I appreciate each of you being here. Didn't Alyssa do a great job leading worship? We are kind of grooming her because there are days when Karen and I will not be here. So, Alyssa, I appreciate great job this morning. Thank you for that. I'm sure he loves to sneak in wherever he goes without being mentioned, but I saw during singing that my good buddy Carrie Allen is with us, Carrie and his wife back there. And Carrie is the reason that I'm at Hillcrest Christian Church. So either applaud him or blame him, whichever way you want to go. So I appreciate Carrie. And I see Patty, and if my information's right, is today your birthday? Happy birthday, Patty. Yeah, go ahead and clap. We're going to sing to her, too. Why don't you stand up and tell us all how it feels to be 59 years old? Go ahead. Let's sing happy birthday to Patty, all right? She's one of the pillars of our church. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Patty. Happy birthday to you. We love you, Patty. Happy birthday. Just going to jump right in this morning. We're continuing our series, What Would Jesus Not Do? Today, Jesus would not make excuses. It's a great passage in Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 57. Then he and his disciples went to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, kind of a strange reply to that comment, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. My heart is always lifted when we come together, and I appreciate everyone that's come to worship together, to honor you today, and to sing about Jesus, and now to study from your word. Make us better people for having spent time together today, as you always do, and may your spirit guide and lead us in the teaching of your word. We thank you for every blessing that comes from above, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all the church said. The Bible talks a lot about farming and agriculture over and over. Farmer here, farmer there. Kingdom of God is like a field where a man found a buried treasure. We're told that we pray to the Lord of the harvest. Jesus tells a parable about the sower that went out and sowed seed, and he makes it clear that our role is to plow, to plant, to harvest the increase that he, God, will bring us. And in the passage that we just read, he encourages us to grip the plow and look ahead and not look back. This is kind of a hard-hitting sermon because it makes me want to ask you to ask yourself, why am I here in the first place? Why am I following the Lord? Where am I in my relationship with the Lord? Why am I doing any of this anyhow? And that's what we want to talk to you about today. There are three characters in the story that we read. I don't know their names, and when I don't know somebody's name, I give them a name. Nickname, generally. So I nicknamed these three boys. The first one we will call Mr. Too Hasty. The second one we will call Mr. Too Hesitant. And the third one we will call Mr. Too Homesick. And we'll look at all three of these fellas here in just a little bit. I don't know what happens to these guys after their encounter with Jesus. Did they become followers? They wanted to be. Did they? The Bible moves on, so we don't know. The implication or the inference is they did not. Because of Jesus' response to what they said, they did not follow through and then follow Jesus. It sure is a good thing we have something known as the excuse, isn't it? Because it comes in handy when it's needed. For instance, Harry came into his New York City office an hour late for the third time in a week, and his boss said, "All right, what's the story this time? Let me hear a good excuse for a change." Harry said, "Well, everything went wrong today. Said my wife decided to drive me to work. She got ready in 10 minutes. The drawbridge got stuck. I swam across the river. I ran all the way to the airport, got a ride on Donald Trump's helicopter. I landed on top of Radio City Music Hall and was carried piggyback by one of the Rockettes." His boss said, "Come on, Harry, you'll have to do better than that. No woman can get ready in 10 minutes." Getting down to the essentials of the Christian life is a lot different than just going to church once or twice a week, isn't it? To get excited because you heard something in a song or you saw a baptism or there was something in the sermon that hit home, to get excited about that's not enough. To allow the extent of your relationship to be a few prayers, once a week communion, and your weekly visit to the church, not going to get it done, not what the Lord has in mind. A fish symbol bumper sticker on your car, if that's the extent of your relationship with Jesus, then you have miles to go. I came across a list of top 10 things. I've seen more Christian bumper stickers this week than I've seen in a long time. I don't know if it has anything to do with the political landscape or what's going on in the country, but people are slapping fish symbols and God first bumper stickers on their car. And I like them. I'm all for them. But again, if that's the extent of your relationship with the Lord, I saw a top 10 list of things people won't say when they see a Christian bumper sticker. And I think these are probably accurate. Number 10, look, let's stop that car and ask these folks how to become a Christian. I doubt anybody's saying that. Number 9, don't worry, Billy, those people are Christians. They must have a great reason why they're driving 90 miles an hour. Number 8. What a joy to share the highway with another car of Spirit-filled brothers and sisters. I don't think they're saying that. Number 7, isn't it wonderful how God blessed that Christian couple with a brand new BMW? Number 6, Dad, how come people who drive like that don't get thrown into jail? Can we get a bumper sticker too? Number 5, they're not saying, "Steer clear of those folks, Martha. If they get raptured, that car will be all over the road." Number 4, oh, look, that Christian woman is getting the chance to share Jesus with that nice police officer. They're probably not saying that. Number 3, they're not saying, "No, surely that's not trash coming out of those windows, Bert. It's probably gospel tracts for the road workers." Number 2, they're not saying, "Oh boy, we're in trouble now. We just rear-ended one of God's cars." And number 1, quick, Alice, honk the horn, or they won't know that we love Jesus. This commitment to follow Jesus goes way deeper than bumper sticker Christianity. Jesus said something in Matthew 6 that kind of hits home with me, and it should with all of you. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I wonder if the Lord conducted a poll with all the polls that have been conducted in the last few weeks, if the Lord conducted his own poll. And of course, he doesn't only know how you're going to vote, he knows what you're thinking before you cast a vote. If he conducted a poll, and the poll question was, how many people that come in here on Sunday and worship me as the Lord God literally put me first in their lives, what would the results of that poll look like? Because y'all know what first means, right? It means first. It means first. Seek first the kingdom of God. My daughter, Jasmine, she's my oldest daughter. She has three little boys, and when she was 5 or 6, she looked like she was in deep thought. She's 32 now. She was about 5, 6, 7 years old in that picture, and she had this contemplative look on her face, and I said, "Honey, you all right?" And she said, "Yeah, but I'm going to let you in on my, my system." I said, "You have a system?" "Yeah, I have a system, Dad." I said, "Well, tell me about your system." And she pointed to her right temple and she said, "Well, over here it's food. And over here it's cartoons. And up here it's friends. And back here it's Jesus dying on the cross." And she could tell I was puzzled or really not happy with her arrangement. And she said, "But don't worry, Dad, because in my system, they all go in circles and take turns in the front." Well, I wonder how many of us get stuck to where Jesus never makes it from back here to up here? I wonder how many people use that same system. And the only time Jesus makes it to the front is this morning when they come to church. Seems there's always something holding us back. So I'll introduce these three followers, would-be followers, to you, but let's understand right up front, Jesus, when he recruited followers, he didn't care if it wasn't for everyone. I had a buddy years ago who joined the Coast Guard, and he said the recruiter wasn't totally honest with him. He figured later it was because he's trying to reach recruitment totals. You're familiar with that, right? He told the recruiter he liked to read, and the recruiter told him, well, we got a library on base. And so that'll be perfect. What he didn't tell my friend Jamie was that no recruit can go to the library until they earn the privilege, and the privilege to use the library couldn't be earned before the sixth week of boot camp. He didn't tell him that. Oh, yeah, there's a library. You like to read? Well, that's perfect. That's not as good as the guy, and this is the truth, he became the laughingstock of the base when he showed up for boot camp with his fishing pole and water skis because the recruiter had told him the base was on an island. So I researched that one, and guess where that boy was from? You can't make this stuff up. Jackson, Kentucky. Can I get an amen on that? Well, no one would ever accuse Jesus of trying to drive up recruitment numbers. Matter of fact, he thinned the ranks over and over. Making things sound better to get the quota up, that's not Jesus. So it brings us to the three characters in the encounter. Let's look at them one at a time. I introduced to you, first of all, Mr. Too Hasty. He's the one who said all the right things. Now, Mr. Too Hasty said something that sounds really good. He said, I will follow you wherever you go. Doesn't that sound good? I'll follow you wherever you go. Derek, if you're recruiting youth workers and you talk to a person, I'd really love to have you involved in our youth group and our teen group and be a sponsor. And their response was, I'll follow you wherever you go. You'd be doing backflips, wouldn't you? That'd be awesome. I will follow you wherever you go. So Jesus' response to him wasn't a positive one, and it makes me wonder, what did this guy mean when he said, I'll follow you wherever you go? And I came up with a thought that describes it completely. You fellas, you're leaving church today, and you're going to lunch, and you say to your spouse, where do you want to eat? And she says, wherever you want. So you say, well, how about Mexican? And she says, no, I had that a couple of days ago, but wherever you want. Well, how about Bob Evans? Well, you know how long it takes when you go to Bob Evans on a Sunday. But wherever you want. Well, how about wings and rings? Well, if that's really where you want to go. I think this man is saying to Jesus, I'll do what you want me to do as long as what you want me to do is what I wanted to do before I talk to you. I want to date, Lord, whoever you want me to date as long as whoever you want me to date is her. I want to work, Lord, wherever you want me to work as long as where you want me to work is right here. I want to live, Lord, wherever you want me to live as long as where you want me to live is right here. Wherever. I'll go wherever. I'll do whatever. I'll be whatever. As long as your whatever is my whatever. Well, I think Jesus would say to the church basically what he said to this man, and I don't know if you will agree with this. I hope this doesn't sound too harsh. It's a reality, and I'd like an amen if you agree. I think it'd be better for us to have 300 gripping the plow together and plowing the field than 1,000 who come once a week to be entertained. I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you go. Jesus' response to him shows that he didn't mean wherever, because Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's Jesus' way of telling him, dude, you don't really mean what you're saying. Because you think by following me, we're going to have a room at the Hyatt tonight, and you can go down to the pool in the hot tub when we're done working. Well, that ain't how this works. I don't even have a place to lay my head. You're going to be sleeping on the ground. You'll have a rock for a pillow. Not sure where the next meal is coming from. Now let's get back to that wherever. And he wasn't serious about it. Jesus made it clear to him, the accommodations, if you follow me, going to be rough. Now, there, every church in this country struggles in two areas, primarily. Do you know what they are? Two areas, in every across the board, mega churches, small country churches, every church has a major struggle in two areas. Here they are, the area of volunteerism and the area of giving. You know why? Those are the areas of commitment. Those are the two areas that show how committed a church is. How faithful, how committed to God a church is in the area of volunteerism and in the area of giving. Commitment and sacrifice show the depth of one's faith in Jesus. I cut out a newspaper article years ago, a man who had given up on church. I've heard similar things to this, but I cut it out because I liked the response that came in the paper after the man's opinion. He said this, let me find where to start here. I quit going to church this year. I decided that listening to sermons week after week was a stupid thing to do. After all, I went to church for more than 40 years, and during my lifetime, I probably heard 5,000 sermons, and I can only remember about 5 of them. What a waste of time, signed, bored and busy. Then the response. I quit eating this year. Thanks to bored and busy's insights, I decided that eating week after week was a stupid thing to do. After all, I've been eating for more than 40 years, and during my lifetime, I've probably eaten 5,000 meals, and I can only remember about 5 of them. What a waste of time, signed, starved and stupid. Mr. Too Hasty, fast out of the gate. But the Christian race is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And by all accounts, he wasn't willing to go wherever you want me to go. Let me introduce you to Mr. Too Hesitant. He's the as soon as I get my life together follower. And I don't know if you've seen this video, and I'm going to show you a video. I'll just tell you right up the outset, it's dumb. But it's so dumb, I loved it. I'm a dog lover, and this video is about a dog who the owner could not get to eat, so he has his conversation with the dog, and it's the dog's reaction that I like, and it does make a point, so check this out.
Food. You know, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. So, yeah. So, you know, I went to the fridge, and I opened up the meat drawer. You know what the meat drawer is, right?
Yeah. What was in there?
Well, I'll tell you what was in there. You know that bacon that's like maple? It's got maple flavor.
The maple kind, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
I took that out, and I thought,
yeah,
I know who would like that. Me. So I ate it.
Oh, no. You kidding me?
Nope. Not kidding. You know, I also noticed there was some beef in there. Yeah, you know, steak, you know, juicy. Well, I ate that, too. But I went back to the fridge just a few minutes ago, and I put something together
here
really special.
Now.
You're going to love this one. I took some chicken.
Yeah.
I put some, yeah, I put some cheese on it, and I covered it with...
Covered it with what?
I covered it with cat treats.
Yeah.
Then guess what?
What?
I gave it to the cat.
Confession. I watched it like 8 times in a row. let me make this point in a dumb sort of way. If you're not willing to eat when the Lord is ready to feed you, he will give it to someone else. If you're not ready to step up and serve when the Lord calls you, he will call someone else. If you're not ready to take a position in the church of service and a position that's been needed to be filled, and God has called you to that, and you've put him off, and you say, not now, I'm not ready, not sure when, he will call someone else. Someone else could get what belonged to you, not because God didn't want you to have it, because you weren't willing to take it. Remember when Jesus sent people out to witness for him and the cause of the gospel? What did he tell people, his disciples, when they came to a door and someone had no interest in what they were selling? What did he tell them? Shake the dust off your shoes and move on. Is it because he didn't care about those people? Of course not. Time is urgent. Time continues to move. If you don't follow now, when will you? If you don't step up now, when will you? If you don't serve now, when will you? Mr. Too Hesitant, he said, first let me go and bury my father. Now again, That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, if my dad died and I called my mom and said, Mom, I'm holding a revival and I can't make it to Dad's funeral. You know what would happen? I'd be cutting my own switch from the rose bush again at age 59. So what's at work in this exchange? I got to go and bury my father. Well, a little bit of Jewish culture, understanding that, they required that the dead be buried the same day they died. Well, if that's true, this dude's father's already dead. He should be home with the family right now. So he's not saying, my dad just died. What he's saying is, my dad's old. He's going to die someday, and I'm pretty sure he's going to leave me something in the inheritance, and I need to wait till all that's taken care of, and then I'll follow you. Most scholars believe, and I agree, this was a general reference to my dad's old and going to die someday. So Jesus responds to him and says, let the dead bury their own dead. How's that supposed to happen? If you're dead, I thought you were dead. Maybe fans of this show can see that happening. I don't think Jesus is talking about some weird Halloween thing where a hand reaches up out of the grave and pulls someone down. What he's saying is those who are spiritually dead can bury those who are physically dead. Now, don't miss this. For any of us who have unbelieving relatives, and who would that be here today? Hands. Any of us who have unbelieving relatives. That's right. For all of us. Do you know what they would say to us 1 minute after they die? Get busy and follow Jesus and start right now. There's always life to take care of. There's family, there's work, there's bills, there's obligations. Listen, for the Christian, here's the lesson. I want you to say it with me. The only way to follow Jesus is totally and right now. Say it. The only way to follow Jesus is totally and right now. I have a friend who shares this testimony now. It's both encouraging and heartbreaking. His name is Scott. He felt the Lord calling him in high school. I mean, he literally felt the call of God even to go in ministry. And he put God off. He basically said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Let me get through high school first. And he did. He got through high school, in college. Again, he admits he felt the call of God. And he said, I'm just not ready. Wait till I get out of college and get a job and get stabilized in my life. Then I will follow you. Gets out of college, gets a good job. Lord calls him again, or at least he says he felt the calling of God. And again, he put God off and said, you know what, I've met a girl. How about after I get married, we have children, we got a family, I'll take them all to church, we'll get involved, and then I'll follow you. Again, gets married, has children, and tells God he's too busy and there's just not enough time. Well, I can share the good news with you, and that is that he does follow God now. But let me tell you about all that he missed during all that waiting. His wife left him, took the kids. He gets to see them every other weekend, so he has time to go to his AA meetings. And there's a host of other things that happen in that period of, I will, God. I do want to. I'm just not ready yet. My conclusion with my friend is this. In the land of tomorrow is where you find addiction. It's where you find divorce. It's where you find prodigal children. Because you are constantly saying, I hear you, Jesus, but now is not the time. The Bible consistently says today is the day of salvation. You've met Mr. Too Hasty, Mr. Too Hesitant. Let's go with one last character. He's Mr. Too Homesick. He's the one with 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Now notice what Mr. Too Homesick has to say. Let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? It sounds reasonable. I'll follow you, Lord, but let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Why did Jesus not respond positively to that? What's wrong with let me go tell my family what's up? Any ideas? You can talk to me. Terry? Possibility that the family would say, you're doing what? Who is this guy with the robe and the sandals and it's taking you where? How long are you going to be there? What's the mission? What's the job? Do you even know where he came from? If this guy goes back to say goodbye to his family, Terry's exactly right. They will talk him out of it. I read this story and I have through the years, and I think this might be the first time that a character in the Old Testament jumped out at me. And she might be one of my favorite characters, even though she didn't say anything. All she did was look back at a city that was on fire on her way out. You know who I'm talking about? What happened to Lot's wife? Y'all know what a cow lick is, right? This is a literal cow lick. And she turned into one. She walked out of Sodom and Gomorrah while God was bombing it with fire from heaven. And she's thinking, man, the library where I used to read is back there. My ladies' sewing group is back there. All the people that I loved are back there. And she couldn't help herself. And she turned around and took a peek and turned into a pillar of salt. Billy Ryan was in Sunday school class, and Mrs. Miller told that story. And Billy Ryan said, well, that ain't nothing. Said, my mommy looked back over her shoulder and turned into a telephone pole. Jesus says looking back makes you unfit. Unfit for the kingdom of God. So let me ask you today, before we wrap this up, is there anybody here who's ever regretted their decision to follow Jesus? Anybody? Anybody here who has looked back and thought, I was better off? I was better off before I had a church family, before I had people praying for me, before I had the hope of heaven. I was better off. I've never met anyone who has regretted their decision to follow Jesus. No second guessing, no regrets, no looking back. Mr. Too Hasty was too concerned with the comforts of life to follow Jesus. Mr. Too Hesitant was too concerned with the cares of life to follow Jesus. And Mr. Too Homesick was too concerned with the companions of life to follow Jesus. Each one had their excuse. What's yours? Whatever it is, it's something Jesus would not do. Now, I want to close this, but I got to thinking about something this week that I'm not sure I ever put together, and it fits into this context. These three guys were all different, but their excuses were one and the same. Not right now, Lord. Remember when Jesus fed all those people with fish and bread? You're familiar with that story, right? What time of day was that he fed them? And I'm not asking specifically, like generally, what time of day? Afternoon? Later toward evening, because the concern was they didn't have time to go home and they'd be without food. So he feeds them. Well, guess what? Those people were there the next morning. Same people. And guess what they expected? Well, we just had the all-you-can-eat fish fry the other night. Now we're going to have the breakfast buffet today. Now, Jesus, that it's morning and the sun's come up and there's still thousands of us here, how about the pancakes that never stop coming and the biscuits and gravy that never stop coming? They expected to be fed again, and Jesus, instead of feeding them, made a comment. Check this out. He simply said, I am the bread of life. In other words, I'm glad you're here, but there comes a point where you're either here for the free food or you're here to follow me. And then the last verse of John 6 says this, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Now let that sink in for a minute. What's interesting is Jesus seemed fine with that. I mean, church preachers, if that was talking about members of the church, they wouldn't be fine with that. Jesus seemed fine with that. If it was us church preachers gathering together, we'd say things like, man, we need to put together an ice cream social or some inflatables for the kids and get them people back. We got to get them people back. Jesus seemed okay that some were turning away. Why was he okay with that? Because the group that he was left with, they really wanted to be there because they simply wanted to follow Jesus. Man, will this preach. As a church, we want people to visit and come and stay here and be safe here and feel free to ask questions and not only be welcome but wanted. But listen to me. We also want to be intentional in saying to people, there comes a time when you need to step over the line because you've made a commitment. Ultimately, what will define your life are the commitments you make. The most miserable people I know are the Christians who try to have one foot in and one foot out. I was reading not long ago about what psychologists call the bystander effect. Everyone sees the need, but there's so many people, they think someone else will do something about it. Example, Kansas City, a couple of weeks ago, a woman was assaulted in the middle of a parking lot. During the day, 10 people standing around in a circle watching it take place. Two people recorded it on their phones. No one intervened. No one called the police. Now, do you think all those 10 people were bad people and evil people and that's why they didn't do it? No. The reason they didn't help is because they assumed somebody else is going to take care of this. Bystander effect happens in church. Somebody else will teach, somebody else will give, somebody else will step up. Jesus always had a bottom line, and here it is. Ultimately, your whole life is determined by what you say yes to and by what you say no to. I'll close with this thought. In the year 1519, Hernando Cortez, the Spanish conquistador, was so intent on having the devotion of his men that when they landed at the territory that they were about to conquer, he had his fleet of ships, all 11 of them, burnt. So that his soldiers could not say, we can't do this, let's go back. I look at my own life, and I wonder how willing I've been to burn ships so that I can only have one direction to go, and that is forward. I loved Edna, 93 years old. I'd sing to her once a year, nursing facility in Ohio. Sweetest, dedicated Christian woman you've ever met. I heard her speak to the residents in her home on her 92nd birthday. She challenged them at their age. You better get involved now because you don't know how much time you have left. That's what Edna would say to them. And she was 92. She even said, one day, you may not make it to lunch. That's how specifically she was getting. Better get busy right now. Well, she said two things to me that I'll never forget. She said, I regret so many things in my life, Mark, but I've never regretted following the Lord. And then she said this, I probably won't see you down here again, Mark, but I'll sure see you up there one day. That is, if you don't blow it. She knew me, didn't she? Well, I don't want to blow it. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to my relationship with the Lord, I want to finish what I started. The Lord is calling every single one of us today to follow Him. Are you willing to step up, step in, step over the line? Are you willing to tee it up, toe the line, make the call, take the shot? Because the only way to follow Jesus is totally and right now. Or are you too busy, too lazy, too selfish, too involved, too afraid, too distracted, too tired, too connected to the world to follow Jesus? We can stop making excuses. We better stop making excuses because that's one thing that Jesus would not do. Amen.